I may have just sealed my fate to never be invited back to Coast AM with that song. Thank you to Dan Galante for finding that for me to play this evening. We talked about it in the last segment. That is The Carpenters with what I think may go down in history as one of the worst songs ever performed. The Carpenters talking about alien craft. Tonight we've been talking about aliens, alien interaction. Our guest was Michael Luckman talking to us about aliens and rock music, how some musicians believe that they are influenced from extraterrestrial forces. What do you believe? Do you believe that that may be the case? Have you ever seen or witnessed a UFO personally or alien interaction? I'd love to hear your story. Tonight we have open phone lines. We'll take those calls. I mentioned in the first hour my trip to the Isseti Ranch, James Gilliland, and the strangeness, high strangeness I saw there. Bizarre things moving about in the sky. Now, understanding there are many satellites, space junk, craft, things that are up there, I'm not going to understand what everything is I'm seeing. So I will disavow 90 to 95% of the weirdness I saw there. But one piece of evidence I cannot walk away from, as the crew that were there watching, they were watching the mountain. They were looking at Mount Adams, I believe it is the name of the volcano there, dormant volcano, which they believe is an extraterrestrial base. As everybody was focused on that, I walked out in the field and I turned around to look behind them to see what we might be missing in the different direction. And I stood there for a good hour, hour and 10 minutes watching that direction when suddenly from behind a high set of pine trees, I saw something fly between the trees. It looked from the distance I was at about as big as my hand, and I was probably a good 250 yards from this thing. And it was glowing in interior luminescent blue light, and it fluttered through the sky as though it was a stingray, manta ray, the way it flutters when you watch it swim. This thing swam across the sky and vanished. I ran at that as fast as I could. I was completely blown away. It was so bizarre. It looked like a bad 1980s music video effect. I was waiting for aha music to start blaring out from the woods. I'm grabbing rocks and I'm flinging them between the trees. I'm sure that this guy is projecting some kind of laser pattern on this on a screen hidden behind these trees. And I'm getting no bounce back. I'm getting no noise. I couldn't believe what I saw. And I gathered myself and went back, and James Gilliland watched me charge through his property and very calmly came over to me. And James looks like a cross between, he looks like Grizzly Adams and a hippie. I mean, he's very light and airy, and it's all very, hey, man, it's so cool. What'd you see? Explain it to me. And I told him that I saw this glowing blue thing fly through the sky, and without missing a beat, he just looked at me and smiled, and he said, yeah, that's one of their biological craft. And I said, what do you mean by biological craft? He said, it's half living, half machine. It's how it traverses between the universes, between the dimensions and parallel universes. And I just saw this thing, and I remember looking at James and thinking, whatever you're smoking has got to be the best on the planet, because that is the weirdest explanation I've ever heard. And then he went on to explain to me how they traverse between the universes and the parallel dimensions is it has to be half living, half mechanical. So strange. But he told me that night, he said, Dave, he goes, now that you've opened yourself up to the experiences, let them know you're watching. They know you're watching, and they'll show themselves again. And I was flying back home from Washington to Minnesota, and I was looking out the portal window next to me, and we were getting close to home, and I could see outside. I could see the Big Dipper in the sky, and I'd been watching the Big Dipper religiously for days, and I thought to myself, all right, I'm going to focus now. I focused out the window, and I said, if you really can hear me and you can show up when we're calling out to you, give me a sign. I want to know that I just didn't have a hallucinatory experience all weekend long watching this. I am in your realm. I'm in your sky. Show me something. And within minutes, this ball of light came across the sky and went into the scoop of the Big Dipper cup and stopped as though it was watching. And then bam, like a bat out of hell went at a 90-degree angle away from us. I've never seen anything move like that. It stopped and then took off again. And I suddenly became John Lithgow from the Twilight Zone movie, William Shatner from the classic episode. I've got my face pressed against this small portal of glass, staring out the window, looking frantically around the plane, hoping somebody else saw what I just saw. And of course, nobody else did. Heads down, lights off, reading. It was fascinating. We came back home to Minnesota. I told my kids about this experience, and we decided we'd go out into the far reaches away from the cities so we could see the skies. And I told them about this, and we started watching the skies. And at one point, my daughter and my nephew were laying on the hood of my truck looking up, and my nephew pointed up and said, "Look, Uncle Dave, there's one." And my daughter said, "Yeah, Daddy, I can see it." Only I noticed they were both pointing to two different parts of the sky. So as I walked up and looked, sure enough, there were two lights in the sky, and they began to dance and create this helix-like pattern in the sky, and then, bam, took off in two different directions. St. Francis, Minnesota. We were witnessing this in the skies over St. Francis. I've had amazing experiences with this and seeing things when we were in Eastern State Penitentiary at a large ghost hunt event that was taking place there. At one point during a break, I had gone outside with a few people that were smoking and just chatting. As I'm watching the sky, we see this light come flying. I mean, just moving across the sky at an unbelievable rate. And we're all looking, and I'm like, "What is that? What are we looking at?" And this thing made no sound, but it's moving across the sky. And then you heard the unmistakable sound of the jets and coming across the sky, following this ball of light. And as these black planes approached, that ball of light took off and just left them literally in a cloud of dust and a hearty high-o silver. We would be insane to believe that this universe so large and expanse that we are it. We are the only life forms that exist. Are we being visited, though? Are they here? Are they watching us? Are they interacting and walking among our people? I want to hear your thoughts next on Coast to Coast AM. Good evening. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host for the evening, Dave Schrader. Thank you very much for joining me. Here's an email I just got, and you can send me an email if you have a question or a story you want to share. Send it to dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. And I will mention my journey to Trout Lake, Washington at the Yosetti Ranch. I've been there four times. One of the times I actually went with the cast and crew of the TV series Paranormal State. And if you can find it, I think still on Netflix, season two, episode, one of the last episodes of season two called First Contact. We actually caught light interaction, things blinking and flickering and lighting up back at us. Some say spy craft. Why would a spy craft flicker and light and blink up back at us? It seems ridiculous. But we definitely caught it on video. Very interesting. Check it out. First Contact. That's the name of the episode on Paranormal State. Here's an email. "Dear Dave, you might find this interesting and worth a bit of research. Shortly after Michael Jackson's death, I was reading comments posted by readers to a news article. I believe it was in the LA Times or the OC Register. Someone made a comment claiming to have known Michael personally and said Michael wasn't taking propofol to sleep. He was taking it to make contact with alien beings who were influencing his music. I found this extremely interesting because years prior to Michael Jackson's death, I had a strange encounter with beings while I was under propofol during surgery. Over the years, I've searched the internet for more info on the connection between contact with beings and propofol. I truly believe Michael Jackson was indeed going under the drug to make contact and that he had made contacts prior to his untimely death. Thank you." And that's from Eli, a listener of Coast to Coast. Thank you very much for sharing your story and insights on that, Eli. Fascinating points. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We've got wildcard line one, Raymond in Sacramento. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share?
Good evening, Dave. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks a lot for listening this evening.
I enjoyed your guest earlier. I'm an artist. I've painted. I've written poetry since I was 13. I've gone into that zone he described, and I've been a multiple abductee since I was about 4 or 5. So perhaps those go together, perhaps not. But I think if there's a universal mind, the aliens must partake of it too, especially if they're benevolent. So we could all be clicked into the same pool of thought at the same time. You know, it doesn't rule out their influence, but at the same same time. It just could be the natural universal connection. I mean, I stood at bus stops and written poems of 8 stanzas each that rhymed perfectly, waiting for a bus. It came in 8 minutes. And you just, sometimes you're just there, you know, when you're an artist. You just feel it.
Right. It becomes, you almost become a vessel that somebody is pouring this information into. Yeah. I've heard that on numerous occasions. Now, Raymond, you said that you were abducted?
Oh, yes, 4 or 5.
And how many times do you believe you've been abducted?
At least 6 to 8 out of 30.
What was your earliest memory of being abducted, and do you remember what the beings looked like?
I remember grays, classical grays. I remember being lifted off the bed and taken to a ship and multiple levels inside the ship. It was like a huge ship. And there were multiple levels. You could look around or just move your eyes because really you can't move. But you could move your eyes and see. And I was a kid, so, you know, perhaps I didn't see what I should see. But I saw that there were multiple levels inside the ship, and there were others there, other beings, other humans. And they were all participating in the experiments that they conduct.
And when you were there witnessing, did you see other people?
Yes, I did. It's like I say, there were other aliens and other human beings.
Were there anybody there that was familiar to you, recognizable?
No, not really.
All right, just strangers. A bunch of strangers, okay.
Yeah, but humans, you know. I mean, you could definitely tell they were being examined, worked on. They do weird things to you, but I don't think it's out of a sense of evil or inflicting pain, sadism. I think it's necessity. I think they're trying to breed cross-dimensional beings, personally.
So did you ever have feelings of pain, of fear, any of that surrounding these abductions, or were you always in kind of a place of calm? Did they keep you relaxed?
I was always calm. I mean, I didn't freak out over it. I've been a science fiction fan my whole life, and comic books and all that, you know. So, like, I just accepted the experience, but that's my general philosophy anyway. Just go with it, you know. So I went.
When was the last time that you believe you were abducted?
Probably back in the 90s.
Okay. Why do you think they stopped with you, Raymond?
Well, I'm not sure if they stopped or I'm just not paying attention. I know I have a tracker in my arm.
And how do you know that?
Because it's there. I mean, there's no explaining why I have this lump in my arm with a scar.
Have you ever had it analyzed or looked at with MRI or any kind of technology, X-ray?
I kind of like the mystery. To be honest, you know, I kind of like the feeling of, yeah, it's there. Because in my memory, there's no matching up wound that goes with it. You know, I'm a Vietnam vet. I was a medic. You know, I keep track of things like that. I'm also a diabetic now, so, you know, I keep real track of wounds.
Sure. But, well, you know, though, that you can actually have a wound where pieces can float. So if you feel a bump or a thing under your skin, it could have been something that had penetrated through a foot or penetrated through a different bodily, a different part of your body. Okay. You might want to consider checking that out, just because if it does ever break free, it can cause issues with heart and brain and get into places it shouldn't be.
Stroke City.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, thank you very much for sharing your story with us this evening, Raymond. Let's go west of the Rockies for our next call. Joey in Idaho, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, what did you want to share with us this evening?
Yeah, a couple of things. When I was younger, grew up in a little town called Mountain Home, Idaho, right outside the Air Force Base, about 15 minutes from it.
Okay.
Heard sonic booms, saw jets constantly. They always flew over my neighborhood on the way to the testing range. So I was real familiar with how they act and all that. I remember in sixth grade, we went to a friend's house who lived a little further out in the desert and away from all the lights and the sounds of the town. And we decided we were going to sleep out in the trampoline in his front yard. It was a really clear night, really starry, so we laid out there. And just talking about stuff that normal sixth grade kids would talk about. And started noticing a couple of shooting stars here and there and talked about it. And then the only way that I can kind of describe is how it looked was if you were to ever step into like a shallow part of a creek or a pond, and tadpoles kind of scattered out in every direction.
Right.
A group of stars suddenly, what we thought were stars, suddenly kind of scattered out like tadpoles and went in all different directions right above us. So needless to say, we got a little freaked out, ran in the house, and really never talked about it ever again. Well, there was another time when I was, you know, about 17, and I was in the car with my mom, heading out of our neighborhood, and noticed something kind of glinting off my peripheral. I turned to my right and looked up into the sky and noticed there were two large, like, chrome ball bearings just kind of hanging out there in the sky. And stared at that for a couple seconds and said, you know, hey, Mom, check this out, and looked back and gone. You know, and some people could dismiss that as just seeing things, you know, but being out there my entire life and, you know, knowing which way these jets go and how fast they go and how they behave, and that was definitely nothing that seemed to come off of a runway, if you catch my meaning.
With seeing all that, isn't it interesting, though, that these kind of craft are around military installations? In your opinion, do you believe that they are alien in nature, or do you think that it's just us and we've broken some boundaries that we're just not ready to admit to the rest of the world we're able to do yet?
You know, I think there's a good mix of both. You know, inspiration comes from everywhere, but it comes from somewhere. So I think that some of those things I saw definitely weren't ours. What other people have seen, I think they definitely could have been ours, that we could have, you know, back engineered some technology or been given a little hint here and there from somebody out of the neighborhood and ran with it. I definitely don't think it's anything that we're ready to admit, not to the average Joe here and there, but there's definitely people that operate at a higher level that got something going on the rest of us aren't privy to.
You know, we've got about a minute or so left here, Joe, but let me throw you this question. Where do you think, if the government did come out and release disclosure at this point and say, yes, this has happened, we have been visited by aliens in the past, Roswell actually occurred, would that be detrimental to our government because we're opening up a can of worms saying that we've lied to our public? Or do you think that they would come forward and say, now we're having contact, it's just recent? Where do you come down on that?
Well, I definitely don't think it's recent. It's been on for a long time, and I think there's more than enough evidence. If people really bogged down and got it outside of their belief system, mm-hmm. and really looked at the evidence, they could say it's been around for a long time. I think there's two types of people. There's people who...
Right, but do you think that it would undermine our government? Do you think it would undermine it and cause a collapse because they admit that it's happened in the past? I almost feel if disclosure took place, they would have to almost admit that they just made contact now and ignore all the things that have happened in the past. Because I think people would revolt saying, if you've hidden all this from us, what else have you lied to us about? And that would cause a collapse in our government.
Well, you know, I think they definitely would. It'd be a big shocker. People definitely wouldn't enjoy it. But I also think, you know, this recent, this NSA fallout, you know, every conspiracy theory that was out there was crazy. And then all of a sudden, hey, a good three-fourths of all that stuff is true. You know, people seem to pretty much just lay back and take that. Mistrust in the government's been around for a long time, but as long as they don't show up on your front door and try to take you away, people seem to kind of just say, well, they're not showing up yet, so what do you got next?
Good points. Thank you, Joey, for calling in. That is an interesting point. What do you think, if you want to weigh in on that this evening with me as well? Do you believe that if the government did admit to the existence of aliens and that it's happened all along, would that cause a detrimental wave and bring about more of a destruction between our belief systems and trust in our own government? Or do you think that people would just accept it and move forward? We'll find out more about that when we take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Good evening. Welcome back. This is Coast to Coast AM. You can't have a night talking about aliens without hearing from Queen and Flash Gordon. Hey, I'm going to be back next Saturday, July 5th. We're going to look at The Conjuring, one of the highest grossing horror movies, based on a real-life story. The Conjuring, the Perrin family, Andrea Perrin, the oldest daughter, is going to join me next Saturday night. We're going to look at some of the realities from the movie that were actually carried over and hear her real story. She's just written her third book in the series talking about this, House of Darkness, House of Light. Andrea Perrin, my special guest, next Saturday, July 5th, right here on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to continue with your phone calls this evening. Open lines. First-time caller, Randy from Charleston, West Virginia. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Thank you, Dave. Well, I'm glad there's somebody out there I can talk to. I've been going crazy.
Feel free to open up.
I got a twin brother. We're 60 okay. years old. We're both ill.
Mm-hmm.
But his house, I'll tell you about what happened to me first, and I'll try to make it as brief as I can.
All right.
What happened to me, I was laying in the bed. Something gripped my ankles and pulled me about halfway down the bed. And we both go to church, and I rebuked it in the name of Jesus Christ and kicked at it, and it left. I have been shoved out of my bed 5 or 6 times in the middle of the night, just lucky enough to catch myself, you know, getting really hurt bad. Me and my brother, we both had surgeries on our feet. We both lost the same amount of toes, but the different toes on different feet. I couldn't put the connection together. His house, it's awful. Upstairs, he got upstairs no one will sleep in because they sweep up their doors open, things fly across the room, and nobody will sleep up there. And he died on his couch 3 times, and the medical people come and got him with the ambulance, and he took his fist. He thought something was trying to get him and just about knocked the ambulance driver out. Of course, they all went laughing and stuff like that. His son died, you know, with an overdose. He got into some bad people, and he's about to go crazy over that. When I went to the hospital, I got operated on, and then the silhouette was in the wall. I was trying to wake up, but before that happened, I was trying to swim up out of the lake. I seen a light, and I was swimming towards the light, and when I got up, I seen a silhouette go around the door and around the wall, and then went out the window. When it went out the window, and I come to, and I was to myself real good. But I have been scared to death. I just don't know what's going to happen next.
What do you believe is causing this? Do you believe that it's demonic interference, or do you believe that it's alien in nature?
Well, it might be a little bit of both. You know, maybe aliens are a little demonic because it's coming. I think it's coming out of another dimension. I really do. And I think it's after us. Whether we're twins or what to deal with. I seen a ship the other day, about a week ago, went treetop tall over top the skyline, you know, just close to the trees. Made no noise. It had 2 red lights and a turquoise light below it. Made no noise at all. So, and he seen... it looked like a Bigfoot. Master silhouette that I seen go around the wall. He seen a Bigfoot stand out. It looked like a Bigfoot. He said a great big husky looking thing. Had big teeth and stuff standing in his doorway when he opened the door. And he slammed the door back. When he opened it again, it was gone. But all this started happening after we sung a religious song. And about 28 people got saved. And all this stuff started happening. His daughter was upstairs taking a shower, and he didn't pull the curtain because, you know, this closed the door. She had a cell phone laying near her clothing, and there was 3 faces in a mirror looking at her. And she took her cell phone, took a picture up, and got it on the cell camera.
And what kind of faces were they? I mean, were they human? Were they alien-looking?
Well, they were strange-looking faces. I hope okay. she still got it.
Well, I'd love to see Randy have her email them over to me at dave@darknessradio.com. It's fascinating. People that have had alien encounters claim that they've been able to rebuke these aliens in the name of God. You know, I don't know how that works for other religions. You know, who do they call upon to rebuke these beings? You know, and are they truly evil? Are they understanding the intent that you don't want them there? Is that why they're leaving? Or is it truly that maybe they are demonic forms taking this visage and trying to intimidate us or frighten us? Randy, thank you very much for giving us a call this evening and sharing your story. Very strange. I think we got another break lined up here. Let's jump to that. We'll come back. We'll continue taking more of your calls. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader, sitting in for George Norrie. If you're interested in all aspects of the strange and unusual, join me Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. until midnight Central Time, as I host Darkness Radio. We explore ghosts, UFOs, monsters, myths, legends, conspiracies, and more. And you can tune into our show at darknessradio.com and stream the show from anywhere in the United States. And then keep it dialed right there, because right after our show, George Norrie and Coast to Coast continues your journey. Again, check it out, darknessradio.com. That's darknessradio.com. Let's go back to the phone lines. Wildcard line 4. We've got Aaron in Fresno, California. Aaron, thank you for staying up late with us this evening. What did you want to talk about?
No problem, Dave. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Better now. What's going on?
I have a group of friends. We're from Fresno, and it's a town where you can see the stars, and we've always been amazed by the sky. And recently, we believe we found our spiritual meaning in life, and we have made contact with aliens, and it happens almost every night. We look into the sky. We see lights that magically appear. Mm-hmm. They'll be flying, and you can tell it's not an airplane because of the way there's no lights flashing. It's just a big beam of light, and it literally just disappears into thin air. And specifically yesterday, I got to see the Transformers premiere, which I love. Honestly, they talk about a lot of subliminal messages in that movie. And coming home at night, we seen a bright light, too bright to be a star. Almost looked like if it was like a sun in a way. It was so close, like you could see the energy from it. And it was coming down, and we have a river, the San Joaquin River, right by our house. And me and my friend went to the river, and we seen the light just sitting there. And right when we got there, it was like hovering above the water, and it would flow back to the sky. And every time I got my camera out to try to take a picture of it or put it on a video, it would disappear, and when I went to put my phone away, it would reappear, almost as if it didn't want to be seen. But we honestly did not want to take the picture to scare it. It was just so fascinating to us because we had never seen a UFO of that standard before. And I don't believe the question of aliens are real. I know they're real, and I just believe it's a question of when are they going to prove themselves to America and actually show themselves.
Have you thought of asking their permission, since it seems to keep vanishing every time you want to pull out your camera? Have you asked out loud and just said, please, I'd like to take your picture and see if it'll appear again for you?
Right. I did ask, and it did stay the second time, which is an interesting point that we had thought of. And I'm a big fan of George Norrie's and yours, and I listen to a lot of the shows. And one of the shows, I remember a talker, I'm not sure who her name was, she was a guest, she said to tell it if it's from a higher source, then it could please remain. And if it's not, then it needs to leave. And I've done that multiple times. And I've had about 3 experiences where a thing honestly just disappears into midair, and about a couple experiences where it does stay. And now I honestly, the more and more I think about it, I feel like I am making contact with these aliens in a non-physical form, meaning like in a mental form. I am getting answers from these aliens, and like, they have told me that there are bad aliens as well. They're not all good, but there are some good and some bad. And the thing is, some want to help and some want to destroy Earth. And that's just how it works, just like in the movies. And you see a lot of these TV shows coming out with things that are explaining that. And I honestly believe like something soon is going to be a big revolution happening.
You think that we're going to know unequivocally that aliens exist? Do you think that's coming up soon? Are they telling you that?
I honestly do believe. In my dreams, I feel like I'm contacting the good aliens. Because like I said, I do ask them if they are from a better source to please stay. And if they are not, to please leave. Because I dedicate my life to positive energy, happiness, and love. So I believe that is what I attract to it. And I know people in Fresno see these things because it's so oblivious sometimes. You can literally just see it in the sky. But I feel like you were saying earlier, you have to be open-minded to accepting it. And I feel like people that just don't accept it just throw it off, but it's literally right there to slap them in the face. And it's just kind of like ignorance at times, which is fine. But I feel like the faster we acknowledge it and accept it, it's the faster we can communicate with the good ones and hopefully, you know, fix this Earth. Because, you know, if you're looking at it, this nuclear warfare and all that's going on, it's like the Earth is not in a good area right now. And I'm a strong believer in the Galactic Federation. And I know that they want to save planet Earth, because right now, we are in a form where the Earth has been closer to the sun than it's ever been. So there's a lot of lightness and not a lot of darkness. So I feel like this could be our last chance to save Earth. As you see the trees and nature, we have so many forms of diversity on our planet. And it's kind of sad to see how our race believes we're the center of the universe when, honestly, there's millions of other races and every genetic thing you could think of that is out there in the universe, species, it like, might be humans, different things, and they're among us, I believe, and I believe they are trying to help us, and there's some are trying to demise us, but at the same time, I feel like the ones, positive energy always speaks negative energy every time, and I feel like we need to acknowledge it and hop on the boat so we could save Earth.
All right, Aaron, thank you for weighing in this evening. I've gotten a bunch of emails, so I'll address this so I can stop people from needing to write to me. We played a little bit ago, we played the song Calling Occupants, and that was covered by the band The Carpenters. He says in this email, Dave, I know you said that you don't like the song Calling Occupants, but that's because you've never heard it the way it was originally written and intended. Klaatu wrote that song and appeared on their 1975 self-titled album, Klaatu. And they gave me a link here. It says, the entire album is awesome. When it was released in 1975, it was played on WYOO U100 here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul, by radio legend Rob Sherwood. It talked about how it was a mystery record because all the songs were written by Klaatu. No other artists or names appear anywhere on the record. The entire record was very strange for 1975, and even the record company had no idea where the master tapes had come from. It was rumored to be the Beatles because many of the songs had a very Sgt. Pepper feel to them, and some of the vocals sounded like Paul McCartney. Many of the songs are also very outer space sounding, like the song of Anus of Uranus. I think many of these songs could be used as bumper music on nights when you discuss aliens. I love this record. Unfortunately, you cannot get it as a single CD. The other album, Hope, included in its set is awful. But check this album out and hear how Calling Occupants was originally intended. It really is a great album. That comes from Mark. We've had, as I said, many people chiming in this evening telling me that story. So I wanted to address that. Thank you very much for the information. Wildcard Line 3, Bob in Camarillo, California. Bob, what's going on?
Hey, Dave. How you doing tonight?
Doing great.
Well, you brought up the subject of being able to address unknown craft and ask them to, you know,
show themselves, right?
Yeah, well, or not just that, but show a sign that they're aware that you're aware of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had quite a few different type of experiences, everything from like shining lights or lasers on them to actually just requesting that they, you know, show us that they're aware. About 6 years ago, I was involved a lot more in UFO investigation, some of it with MUFON, some of it private groups. And one experience I had out of two that were really great were was down in Joshua Tree, California. We had about eight people out southern Joshua Tree area. And we were sitting in a circle of about eight people, so we covered the whole skyline in all directions. And I noticed a light coming, I guess it was by towards the west. Hard to say how high up it was, maybe 1,000 or 2,000, but like I said, don't know how big an object was. But anyway, as it started coming overhead of this group, you know, people were very people saying like, hey, if you're a sentient being, whatever, could you please acknowledge us? And this light got about at least 10 times brighter, and which was pretty amazing because, you know, if it was like a just some kind of a, you know, Air Force project or something, how would they, you know that we were trying to communicate with them? So that was pretty incredible. But the most incredible one I had was down by San Bernardino, Big Bear Mountain, with a smaller group of people.
Well, let me ask you this. When you witness these things and you see them, Bob, are you ever concerned? Does it ever give you any sense of dread or fear, malevolence?
No, not really.
Okay.
No, I obviously talking to many people over the years I've met, everybody's got their own take on the subject, but I think the Earth may be just kind of a truck stop, perhaps. And there's just, you know, like other callers have said, different, very many different groups. But No, I never had any, you know, experience where I felt any negativity, but I never had any really close up, you know, fourth encounter type, you know, situations.
Sure.
Anyway, but this other time I was with a smaller group, like I said, and it was about maybe 2 weeks after 9/11. And obviously, you know, some of the people we were still pretty upset about the whole thing. And it was not quite dark. It's kind of dusky, you know, medium blue sky. And I saw another light cruising overhead. Looked to be higher up, as far as I could tell. And I don't know why, but I just had the urge to say, like, hey, if you're watching us, I hope you realize we're not all, you know, crazy down here. And that object got maybe like 20 times brighter. Huge. And there was about, you know, probably three of us in this backyard. And, you know, obviously, other people started going, oh, my God, and kind of shouting. And this other friend of mine had gone inside this house to use the bathroom, and she heard us hollering. And anyway, as it went over the zenith above us and started dimming out again, she came running back outside and just, you know, saw it and said, hey, that's not fair. I didn't see you. And it lit up again for her. Now, I don't know how you explain stuff like that. I mean, it's...
Well, when we were out at the Assetti Ranch for James Gilliland's ranch, he did the same thing. He would ask. I remember watching, and there was this set of three stars, and one in the middle just kept blinking on and off. And when it went out, I said, where was that third star? And he just called out, and he said, could you please show yourself again? And all of a sudden, it had gone from this grain of rice-sized light to about the size of a dime, and it flashed back three times as though acknowledging him. It was the most bizarre experience. I still can't wrap my head around the things I saw.
Well, it's this woman who had come running outside of the house. She's been up to that ranch, too, and she has some videotape she took, and she had all sorts of bizarre experiences, not just with crap, but like sleeping outside and having, she's a very psychic aware person. And, you know, she said there was things cruising around on the ground level that she couldn't quite explain. And, but yeah, apparently that anybody who goes up there seems to have an experience of similar types of at least seeing something. I'd like to get up there sometime.
Well, if you get a chance, it's well worth it. And, just a bizarre place. One of the weirdest things I ever saw, too, was as we were there on a 4th of July weekend, as everybody was gathering, the clouds started to fill the skies. And he said, don't worry, I've spoken to them. They said that they'll remain clear. And over his property only, the skies remained completely wide open, but the entire rest of the sky was encircled in clouds. And then as the night progressed and people started to turn in, the clouds got tighter and tighter until it filled the entire sky when everybody had gone to bed. Strange stuff. We've got more coming your way. Aliens, UFOs, and Coast to Coast AM.